Don't ever have to wonder what's going to be preached, not in this pulpit. Amen. With the message of the gospel of the grace of God, let us receive the messenger, but more importantly, the message. But very hearty, amen.
Amen.
Thank God, Pastor. Amen.
Thank God. Grace and peace to the household of faith. Amen. Thank God for everyone here, pastor and deacons, elders, everyone. Amen. Thank God for the opportunity to come together one more time. Amen. Let every heart pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Oh God, thank you for all your people here, Father, even those that are on their way, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the gospel of the grace of God. We thank you for Christ. We thank you, Lord, for what you did for us in eternity. Oh God, we ask that you help us to focus more on eternality. Focus more on the eternal view, looking at the things that you've done for us in eternity. And right now, Father, we ask that you breathe upon the word, breathe upon your people, enlighten our hearts, Father. And let everyone here, Father, let Christ be magnified. Oh God, we call upon the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit to lead every word, that everything be done according to your will, plan, and purpose. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your love. We thank you, Father. And to you we'll be mindful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, thank God for the Word of God. Amen. I know everyone is excited about the Word of God. Now, we're going to, this something the Lord has led me to teach and preach on, distinguishing these messages. You have to divide this Bible according to dispensations and covenants. If you don't, church, you'll be confused. And we're going to continue that today, and we're going to begin Romans 15 and 4. But let me say this. We have a couple of very important announcements to make regarding the book after service, as well as a couple of very important announcements regarding men's fellowship. Having said that, I'm just going to mention a couple of quick things now, about 3 minutes, and then we'll get right into the Word of God. Because, again, at the Grace Gospel Church, the Word has a preeminence. It's sad when you see places where the pastors run their mouth for 30 minutes and they preach for 10 minutes. The Word of God has a preeminence. But I will need to mention a couple of things before we get right into the Word. One of the things, my heart was enlightened when I saw Sister Janice Jackson sitting beside my Aunt Marvelline. For those, I think maybe you don't know, but Sister Jackson has been, in fact, with Elder Karen. She's like a family member. They all grew up together, but Sister Jackson there. You all may know, my wife and I, we got married. We lived in Maryland for a couple of years. And while the Lord called us to move to Detroit, my wife's home, we had to close out some things in Maryland. And Sister Jackson, she's laughing, she knows what I'm going to say. Sister Janice Jackson, who we've been knowing all, grew up in the family. My son David was just three months old. My good Lord, when Sister Janice came to Maryland, and she took my son. And said, William, you all, and you and Karen, I know you have to close up some things to move to Detroit. And my son David Leo stayed with Janice for the whole summer. She just took care of him. So it's good to have friends, amen? And good to have friends. Thank God for friends. And another thing I want to say is, I mentioned this to Pastor, that Veronica Sealer, you all know Veronica, she's like a sister to us, to my wife. They've been knowing each other. I've been knowing Veronica for 40 years. Anyway, she's having major surgery tomorrow. So keep her in your prayers. And I will say this for Veronica. You all know, she's labors with the oxygen, but she's like a sister. And the Lord, many of you don't know that 30 years ago, she came from a breath away for being out of here, for dying. But the Lord knows his purpose. He kept her here because we needed Veronica to help raise our 10 children. So let's keep her in our prayers. And I tell you, when we were all growing up, kids growing up, many times we would be out the house, my wife and I coming home, and they would run, all 10 of the kids said, Daddy, Mama, Aunt Veronica's mean. I said, whatever's going on, you do what Aunt Veronica say do. Amen. Because that's how wonderful she is. So let's keep her in your prayers. Amen. So that's because she's just a blessing. Amen. And one last thing I want to say before we get into the Word, 2 minutes. Many of you know a good friend of ours, Dr. Karen Eggleston. our family dentist. She lost her daughter about two months ago, Allison, who passed away, made the transition from this life, been sick for 25 years. I called her a couple of days ago, and she's in another crisis. So let's keep Dr. Karen Eggleston in our prayers. Amen. That the Lord would just continue to bless her. And even growing up, all of our kids, Dr. Eggleston, one, you know, having 10 children that needed, you know, dental work, what she would do every 6 months, she would close her office only for our kids and leave the office just closed all day so she, all day she would see our children. And that's how wonderful she is. So let's keep her in your prayers. Amen? Amen. Thank God. Okay. Romans chapter 15, verse 4, please. We'll read this in the King James. And again, we're going to continue focusing on distinguishing the messages. Amen. We're going to read from, King James, and then we'll go directly into the Greek after this. Amen.
We're reading from the book of Romans, the 15th chapter and the 4th verse.
Let's read verse 1 through 4.
Verses 1 through 4, yes. King James Version. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me.
Mm-hmm.
For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. This is the King James Version.
King James, okay.
But that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope.
Now, church, notice in our gospel, verse 4, why don't you read this in the interlinear Greek? For those of you in the Grace Gospel Church, we employ the interlinear Greek text because, again, the Bible was originally written in Greek. So we have to employ the Greek language to get the true exegesis and meaning of what God is saying. So looking at verse 4, let's read this in interlinear Greek, Deacon Gavin, please.
Now Romans chapter 15, verse 4, from the interlinear Greek text. For whatever things were previously written for our teaching were written in order that through patience and through the comfort of the writings, hope we may have.
Notice, church, in the King James, they use the word learning, but that's really a poor translation. That's a poor word, because in essence, what the Apostle Paul is saying here is that the things written aforetime, what do we mean by aforetime? Everything that was written from beginning of God working with the writers up until the mystery was all aforetime. Before God gave this volume of truth, this message, the mystery, to the Apostle Paul, prior to that, everything was aforetime. And in essence, church, what it means, it was all written for us, for our teaching. You don't go back there to try to learn. See, if you say, well, somebody say, well, I'm going to go to Genesis to learn something. If you go to Genesis to learn, in other words, you'd be more confused reading Genesis than you have more questions after you read it if you don't have the mindset to teach. But where should you teach? You teach from the new of what? Our gospel. Because our gospel gives you more information. It's written on a higher plane of knowledge. Now, having said that, so we go into the other parts of the Bible to teach. Now, you remember, Deep read that word written. In your Greek text, that word written is an aorist indicative. And we know the aorist is past complete action, church. And the indicative is a fact. It's a past complete fact. Word written. Everything was word written for our teaching today. So we're going to do some teaching. Because some of God's people, here's the problem. How many times have pastors said, if you do not divide this Bible according to dispensations and covenants, you will be confused. But many of God's people, They read the scripture, whether it's in the Old Testament or whether it's in the kingdom, and they say, this applies to us today. And again, the whole Bible is true, church. Everything. We're not minimizing other portions of the Bible because it's all of God's word. It's just that our contract, the grace contract, the grace covenant, those 14 epistles, Romans through Hebrews, give you more information regarding the eternal workings of God. Now, we're written. Now, the next thing we should ask ourselves, why should we go there to teach? In other words, why can't I take what Jesus mentioned in, let's say the king, let's use the kingdom scripture. Why can't I take what Jesus said in Matthew and take that information and go with what? And teach. Well, again, you don't get the full, you have more information in the grace gospel than in the kingdom gospel, because the message that was revealed to the Apostle Paul prior to the Apostle Paul's receiving this message from Christ himself, it was unknown. Now, I'm going very slow because I have so much to say, but I'm watching that clock and it's beating me up. So y'all pray for me, amen? Now, why should we take Paul's writings and teach the other components of the Bible? Well, let's go to Philippians 1, our gospel. Let's go to Philippians 1, and this is verse 10. Deacon Gavin's going to read. Let's again go to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 10, please. King James didn't then go right into the Greek.
We're reading from the book of Philippians now, the first chapter, and verse 10, King James Version. Mm-hmm. That ye may approve things that are excellent, mm-hmm. that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ.
Okay, now, Deacon, what? Now let's read this, and for those that do not have the Greek, let's read this in the interlinear Greek, please.
Now, Philippians chapter 1, verse 10, interlinear Greek text. For thee to prove you the things differing.
The things differing, uh-huh.
In order that ye may be sincere and unoffending in day of Christ.
Okay, amen. Church, if you have a... You may, if you have a pen, if not, you can do it when you get home, okay? That word, before you see excellent, if you could cross that word out because it doesn't give you enough information. What Paul, in the Greek language, what it really means is that the things, the writings, our gospel, the writings, that the mystery, what's the mystery? The volume of truth that God gave to the Apostle Paul for the Grace Church. It is, these writings are different. Because they are different, now you can go to the other parts of the Bible and teach. Now, when we say different, let's expand this word more. This word different literally means it has a higher value rating. A higher value rating, church, than the other parts of the Bible. I mean, if you're trying to go to Leviticus, and it's like, for example, let's say this. Somebody say, I want to learn, we know, next beginning, next what? Week. We have a new document that pastor's going to teach. And I thank God, most of you have the document. Amen. We'll talk about that after service. But what is it called? Actualization, volume 2, right? Actualization by God's decree in where? Eternity. Distinguishing between actualization by God's decree in eternity from manifestation in time, right? If you say, well, I'm going to go to Leviticus and I want to learn more about actually by God's actualized workings in Leviticus. Forget it. It's not there. Church, you're only going to get Leviticus, you're in the law. You're only going to get the information as conveyed in the law. You go to Deuteronomy, somebody say, I want to learn about sovereign grace. Forget it. It's not there. What? The information in the old, you know, aforetime is tied into those covenants. And the information in those covenants, church, and by the way, I know we have ministers from probably Pakistan, Asia, Africa. Okay, some of you ministers, maybe, you know, you're probably leading ministers, leading God's flock. You need to, one thing that's important is this. You're only going to get the information as conveyed in those covenants. Now, where we operate in the grace covenant, the gospel, the grace of God, is written on a higher plane of information. Now, having said that, so where should you go? Somebody say, well, I want to learn college algebra, you know, at Wayne State, you know, the university where I work part-time. It's like, you know, you tell the kids, okay, I want you to, you take advanced algebra, okay? That's where you are, let's say, the second year in college, but now we're going to, but you need to go back to third grade math. Wait a minute. If you want to study advanced algebra, you're not going to read a third grade math book. You want to read the information, the curriculum that's tied into the knowledge that you're seeking. So in essence, for the grace covenant, the grace contract, it has more information, so that's where we should focus. Amen. And I'm going to say this, the whole Bible is true. The whole Bible is great to be studied, but you study it and read it from the light of what? Our contract. Now, so church, there's a threefold application we always need to learn and understand. There's a threefold demarcation of God's eternal workings. They are tied into times past. In times past, God's message was conveyed via the law. Today, it's grace. But now, in ages to come, it's kingdom. Okay? The worst mistake God's people can make is to interpret what God said in the time past and in the future, and you try to make that apply today. And that's what caused a lot of confusion. I'm going to say this one more time. The worst mistake God's people can make is to interpret what God said in time past and in the future, and you try to make that apply today. And you know what's going to happen? It's going to cause a lot of confusion. What it is, church, is this. We are living where? In what we call the but now age, the grace age. And to prove for verification, for confirmation, I tell you, all the crazy things that's happening right now. Right now, church, you read this in the light of our gospel, and what? It's a perfect fit. Why? Because our gospel is what? For this present evil age. Somebody said, why in the world does this man over there, I saw him kill 100,000 people, and the other day, 7, 8 got executed. What do you expect in this present evil age? That's where we live now, church. But you know what? Have you thought about this? God has taken the most wicked age in this present evil age, and he has given the gospel of the grace of God, the mystery, for sin to abound, grace does much more abound. God has taken the worst age to dispense this wonderful knowledge, the gospel of the grace of God. Now, let's go one step further. You know, we say we have to change our cogitation, because some people's mindset, they read a scripture and they say, oh, this has to be for us today. You have to understand, church, number one is this. You have to distinguish the messages. If you do not divide the Bible, if you do not divide the messages, you will be confused. Now, there's one, let's talk about the Lord's Prayer. Because see, if you tell a lot of people, I mean, we were trained, and I'm going to say this 1,000 times, because see, you know, people hear what they want to hear. If you leave this church today and said that Elder Liverman was beating up the Lord's Prayer, you did not hear what thus said the Lord. But you need to understand the essence of that prayer, because again, just from where you're reading this, it should let you know the focus of that prayer. But many times the problem is this. People have taken what Jesus said in the kingdom or kingdom law and said, well, this is for us today. And then all of a sudden you get confused. Let's look at this. Notice, where did we begin, church? We started with our gospel. Right? I didn't say go to what? Kings? Did I? We didn't say go to Joshua. We started with the higher plateau of knowledge. Our gospel. Right? Now let's teach something regarding the Lord's Prayer, but we're going to teach it from the veneer of our gospel. Because I heard people say, oh yeah, the Lord's Prayer. It is, let me say, a beautiful prayer. But now when you approach it from the aspect of knowledge, now you can read it with what? Understanding and comprehension. So let's go to Matthew. Just now, when we say Matthew, what should it tell you right there? It should tell you right there, well, this is what? A kingdom prayer for a future age. Let's be there. Matthew chapter 6. We're talking about distinguishing the messages. Matthew chapter 6. In fact, I tell you what, we're going to read the whole Lord's Prayer, and then we need to look at something, because again, many times, many of God's people, they say, well, this has got to be for us today. Well, they say, oh, how they say, I heard, this has got to be for us today. And I say 1,000 times, I'm not bigging up the Lord's Prayer. The whole Bible, thank God for the Word. But we should thank God for what He's given for us. Amen. I want you to just read the entire go. See, that would be Deacon Gavin's going to read Matthew chapter 9, verse, I believe it begins. You're looking at verse 6. Read the entire prayer. Begin Matthew chapter 9 and verse 6. Okay. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Matthew chapter 6. Right. Okay. Matthew chapter 6. That's right. Okay. Matthew chapter 6, beginning with the 9th verse. And there, everybody know the Lord's Prayer. But let's look at this today, because again, let's look at this today from the avenue of our gospel. The kingdom gospel and the grace gospel. And there's not a person in here at one point, if I ask all of you, raise your hand, we don't have to do that, but I'm sure we can all raise your hand. One time, everyone thought that there was just one gospel. Right? Ain't my name? There's, just one gospel. And then what happened, you read all these conflicting messages, and then you know what God's people say? Oh, I don't read the Bible anymore. Man, you ask why? Oh, because the Bible contradicts itself. No, it doesn't. But many times these messages will clash if you do not separate them according to dispensations and covenants. Okay, let's read these, please.
We're reading from the 6th chapter of Matthew, beginning at verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Everyone in here, what, know the Lord's Prayer. We were all, what, taught in Sunday school. It's probably the first thing we all learned, the Lord's Prayer. Now, let me say this. There are some fundamental principles in the Lord's Prayer that's wonderful. But many things in the prayer will clash. If you try to put everything that Jesus said in that prayer, and you try to make that fit today. So let's exegete some things here. You see where it says, let's break some things up. Jesus said, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. You see that word, thy kingdom come? Now, if you don't have your Greek, that word come, church, is what we call an aorist imperative in the active voice. In other words, it's a past completed command, thy kingdom come. Is that right? Wait a minute. In the kingdom, he said, pray for the kingdom to come. But if you read this in the aorist, what's the aorist tense? Past completed action, church. Pray for the kingdom to come. But according to the Greek methodology, the kingdom has already come. It has already come. But somebody say, you crazy. What do you mean the kingdom has already come? I don't see no kingdom. No, ain't in it. The kingdom has already come based upon God's actual last decree. The kingdom has already come, church. Because let's take this further. You see the word come? It has already come. Jesus commanded his disciples to pray for the kingdom to come. But the kingdom has already come in accordance to God's actual last decree. Let's go this further. What's the essence of God's, of the methodology? Distinguish between what? Actualization by God's decree in eternity from manifestations in time. According to God's actualized decree, the kingdom has already come. It just has not been manifested. You are already glorified. Your body is already glorified. Preaching, you're crazy. What do you mean? I woke up with my knee hurting, my back hurting. What do you mean I've already been glorified? Yes, you have already been glorified. It's just that it has not manifested. You were glorified according to God's decree. Remember, you saved. Oh, I saved when I got baptized. No. You were saved, Ephesians 1. You were saved before the foundation of the world. Now, let's take this further. You see where it says, give us this day? That word give is also is an aorist imperative. Give us this day our daily bread. It's an aorist imperative in the active voice. In other words, they're praying, Lord, give us this day, but in the actualized decree, God has already done it. That word give is it follows the same Greek text as the word come, which is what? An aorist imperative in the active voice. Now, here's the problem. They're praying, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Now, we heard this. Lord, what? Give us this day our daily bread. I tell you what. In the essence of what God, let's take America. People said, well, I'm going to pray what the Lord said. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Wait a minute. You're praying for God to give you your daily bread? Now, I don't know, but if I look, by looking at around here, I think most of us are eating three meals a day. In other words, Lord, it's okay to pray. Amen. We pray for provisions. We're not minimizing that, church. But understand, in this essence of this prayer, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. That is a future conveyance, church. Because number one, and again, I'm just making a point here. We all know, how many times have we read in the news and TV that in America, there is what? An epidemic of obesity in this country. They now have what? We all know even teenagers, kids in elementary school, there's a problem with teenage obesity, right? And a lot of this is tied into food. But here's the point. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Well, if we really want to tie this into what's really going on in America, we should say, Lord, take away some of our daily bread because many of us take in too many calories. Lord, hey, take some away, Lord. That's enough. So I'm trying to say, well, let's look into the future. Now, here's what we need to do. Let's do some methodology. I want you to project in the future when the church is taken out of here. The Lord is going to take us away, right? We know God's eternal work, and so what's going to happen? God is going to focus body Christ, absent from the body, present with the Lord, right? When we take us out of here, God is going to focus on Israel. He's going to take Israel through the tribulation period. He is going to set up this, what, the kingdom that he promised to Abraham. Now, I want you to imagine now that they're going to go through a 7-year tribulation period. It's going to be rough, right? And now, what's going to happen? Israel, God's elect, is going to go through the tribulation period. But, two things. Number one, the Antichrist is going to set up an economic system. Over there, you read over there in Revelations, and see, many times, God's people, I heard, body Christ, God's people, I don't read it, but that book's scary. No, you read it with knowledge. Number one, Revelation does not apply to you, church. But now you read this, when he sets up the economic system where no person can buy or sell unless they have the mark of the beast. In other words, they're going to have food they cannot buy or sell. Now, what's going to happen? Israel, who God is going to send through the tribulation period, God is going to make provisions for them. But what's going to happen? They will, at the future time, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Because what's going to happen? They are going to be forced to trust God for their daily bread because the economic system at that time is going to be changed. And then they'll say, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. It is a future prayer, church, not for this time. It's a future prayer. Now, when you say, Lord, give us this day, now we know even today how many times God's people in other foreign countries, even to this day, church, what? Depend upon God's decree. Many of God's people died of starvation in other nations, right? Even in America, some of them have food issues in terms of hunger. But the whole idea is that our focus if you take the kingdom prayer, it's all future. The Lord's Prayer. Let's go further. Give us this day our daily bread. Okay? And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Notice, forgive us our debts. In other words, Lord, forgive us as we forgive. No, forgive us, Lord, as we forgive them. What should I tell you? By the way, if you do not have this document, in fact, you can go on the website under the community forum. It gives you the provisions of the grace what? Contract. And church, understand, in the grace contract, there are no conditions. What do we see here? There are conditions. Lord, forgive us as we forgive them. So this tells you right there, this prayer is not applicable for the body of Christ. Let's move further. Okay? As we did, but you notice the word forgive, again, it's an aorist imperative in the active voice. The forgiveness is always, is all tied into God's decree. Amen. Now, forgive, the latter portion, is a present indicative active voice. See, it says, Lord, forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. Okay? As we forgive, the second portion, forgive, it is what we call, it is a present indicative active voice. And lead us not into temptation. That's a subjunctive aorist. Past completed probability. In other words, Lord, lead us not into temptation. Those that God will not lead or lead, it's all tied into the decree. The probability is in the manifestation. Some what? Some are going to be led into temptation, others not. That's a probability. But all that is tied into God's decree. It is what? An aorist subjunctive in terms of those that God will or will not lead into temptation. It's all tied into his actualized decree. All future church. And deliver us from evil. Notice this now. All this evil thing, the 7-year tribulation period. Lord, deliver us from evil. That's an aorist imperative. So here, what's the conclusion, church? The major theme of the Lord's Prayer is based on a thing of God's actualized decree that is waiting to be manifest in time. In other words, the Lord's Prayer is a prayer that God gives Israel as a deliverance tool when he takes them through the tribulation period. And what we've done, we've taken this prayer and tried to apply it to today. That has all these conditions. Jesus said, if you don't forgive men, there are Christians that are in fear. And sometimes people hurt you so bad, it's hard to forgive. Now here you having a bad day because you say, I just can't forgive this person. They hurt me. I mean, let's face it, a lot of people have been hurt. And the ability to forgive, some people can't forgive. You know, you don't take no credit in that. God has only held back your depravity for you to give that person. In some cases, according to God's decree, you may not be able to forgive a person. Now, don't misunderstand me now. The goal of grace is to forgive. But what that forgiveness is tied into what God's decree is. Amen. I've had some people that, man, they hurt me so bad. I said, Lord, I didn't have a bet in my hand, because if I had a bet in my hand, my depravity would have taken over. Right? Some people, you forgive. Now, I repeat, we should forgive. But the forgiveness or not forgiveness is not based, it's not tied into whether or not you save or not. Some people say, I can't forgive, that person can't forgive, so I may not be saved. Take salvation out of time. Salvation is based upon God's what? Eternal decree. Well, so again, thank God for the Lord's Prayer. But the Lord's Prayer has a future connotation. But somebody say, is there a prayer for the body of Christ? Thank God there is. In the prayer, the body of Christ, you read over there in Ephesians chapter 1, it talks about Paul's prayer that God would give. He said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Hallelujah. And for the body of Christ, it is a prayer. Notice, the prayer for the body of Christ church is a prayer that God will open up his people's mind to the understanding of the mystery, the volume of truth that God gave to the Apostle Paul. That is our prayer today for the church, Grace Church. That is our prayer, that God's people will be enlightened to his eternal workings, that God's people will see that everything that is has already been, that God's people will see that I'm saved before the foundation of the world. So, our prayer, Lord, is a prayer. It's really a prayer for understanding and enlightenment. That is our prayer. Now, again, the key is this. In dividing these messages, church, let law be law, let grace be grace, let kingdom be kingdom. I'm going to show you another example of why it's so dangerous. Just grab something and run with it. You heard it say, grab my scriptures, let's run with it. Church is dangerous. It is dangerous to grab a scripture and run with it. Now, I'm going to tell you one that's really popular, especially among the prosperity churches. Again, let's do another teaching, some more teaching. Go to Isaiah 54. But we're going to teach now, right? I want you to read the first sentence, verse 17. The reason we're going to do this, you should never, you know, it's one thing I learned at the Grace Gospel Church. Don't ever run with the scripture. Go up a few verses. What? Go down a few verses. Make sure you have the historical. The what? The contextual. And the grammatical. Make sure they align. And then you have a great idea of what that scripture means. Just don't grab something and run with it. Let me tell you the danger in that. Everyone, for me, read this. We're going to read Isaiah 54:17. Now, we're going to read this because this is the way most people take this scripture as far as God's workings. Read this, D, please.
We're reading from the 54th chapter of Isaiah and the 17th verse. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper.
Stop! Now, again, we know Grace Gospel, we know better, right? But the reason we're saying stop, because that's the way most people, they grab that scripture and the prosperity preachers love it. No weapons formed against you shall prosper. And then when some crazy stuff happens, they can't explain it. Now, no weapons formed against you shall prosper. Let's share, what about the danger in this? Right now, today is what? The day is the 8th. The 8th of September. In about 3 days, those listening to this site through other countries, we all know what happened. September 11th, right? What happened? Those planes hit the Twin Towers. We all know, right? There were people that used this scripture. No weapons formed against you shall prosper. Now, again, we're going to teach some things here. Now, here's the problem that caused the confusion. You know, they did all kind of reports after this Twin Towers incident, right? You know what happened? Many of the sinners, you know, that place so big, 1,000 people were there. Many of the non-elect, man, we don't know who the non-elect are, but we know there are some, right? They did not go to work that day. When those planes hit the towers and they survived. Men of God's elect went to work and they died. And somebody said, well, what happened? I think he said, no weapons formed against you shall prosper. Well, see, you read that in the light of what's happening. In other words, church, everything today from our gospel, our contract, works according to God's actualized decree. It's tied into his purpose. Everything that's happening today is tied into purpose. Everything that's happened to your life, from the time you were manifested, born in the earth, to the time that you're sitting here today, everything that happened in your life was according to God's eternal purpose. Well, somebody say, well, you know, I don't like what I went through. It was tied into his eternal purpose because God's purpose is not based upon what we see. It's all tied into what? A saying. One decree. God spoke over your life. And one decree, it was all done. And whether you understand or not, it's all according to purpose. Now, looking at this further. They had a pastor died in the Twin Tower. A pastor. Men of God, men of people, the church, you know, confused. My pastor died. He was in the Twin. He was visiting. He was visiting another minister, and he died. Well, from the knowledge we have in our contract, what? That had already happened. The frame, the matrix. The frame was just what? That day, September 11th, the frame was just there. And what occurred was already there. It was already there. But now, you grab this, where Isaiah said it, no weapons formed against you shall prosper. Okay, let's do some historical study. It'll make sense. Isaiah was a prophet, right? The eagle-eyed prophet that God showed him. You know, I got excited when I studied this week. God showed Isaiah he was under the law. We know that Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, they were under the law. But they prophesied the future kingdom. God showed Isaiah things that were going to happen in the future. And we know, see, what happened? Deke just read Isaiah 54, church. You go back up the previous chapter, and you are now in Isaiah 53. It talks about, we're not trying to go there, it talks about what? The birth of Jesus. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes were healed. So what? So God showed Isaiah the life, the birth of Jesus. He showed Isaiah the coming kingdom. But what you will not find written by Isaiah or none of the other prophets, the dispensation of the gospel of the grace of God. Why? Because it was hidden. Somebody said, I want to find information about the body of Christ in Isaiah. Forget it. It's not there. It was hidden. So the point is this. God showed Isaiah Israel's future deliverance. In 53, the birth of Jesus. In 54, when they go through the tribulation period, right? When they go through the tribulation period. And when all the nations are going to rise against Israel. Now, somebody said, well, that's from, the United States. Look at it, wait a minute. The Bible says all nations are going to come against Israel, including the United States. And what's going to happen? God is going to remove their security blanket. In other words, as they go through the tribulation period, God shows Isaiah all the nations that are coming against Israel, the Battle of Armageddon, and one day the Antichrist, at one point, all the nations, their goal is to destroy Israel. Their goal. And you know what? God speaks through the eagle-eyed prophet and say, look, Isaiah, even though all the nations are going to one day try to destroy Israel, Isaiah, I'm going to speak to you, and you are commanded to tell Israel, no weapons formed against you shall prosper. That is a future deliverance. It's not something in this present evil age. And then what happens, see, we should pray for God's what? Protection? Lord, amen. Lord, protect me today. But you better say, according to your will, plan, and purpose. And now when some crazy things happen, you don't what? You won't be confused. You won't get mad at God. You see how our gospel clears things up? Now, I was 3 days ago, my next door neighbor is a Jew. Ben, wonderful, thank couple. And he was walking to the synagogue. I said, wait, and I waved at Ben. I said, Happy Rosh Hashanah. You know, we know last week, 2 days was the Jewish New Year, right? And I thought about this, Pastor. The Jewish New Year, I thought about this. People, they're running, they going to the synagogue. Do you know that there are many Jews today that are atheists? They hate God. And what happened? Let me say a little history. What happened now in the Jewish economy, in the time frame, let's look at history, when they were persecuted in Germany. I read an account of this. You know, most Jews have a knowledge of the Old Testament, right? When they saw that they were going to die in Hitler's ovens, they went over there in the Old Testament and they read, wait a minute, no weapons formed against us shall prosper. And millions died. And do you know, many Jews today, many hate God. Because what? They died. But somebody said, what happened? Why did God do that? Allow that? Purpose. We don't know all the details, but it's interesting. If you read a historic account about God's working in Israel, no, that, at that time, understand, during the time of Hitler, during that time, there was what? No nation. But isn't it interesting that from the time that Hitler said, I got you, from the time of by 1938, it's 1944, God used, in other words, the Jews were what? Literally destroyed, but the whole, all the nation had so much sympathy that what happened? In May the 15th, 1948, they became a nation. It was all part of God's plan. Amen. Things just don't happen. Somebody said, I made a right turn. I should have left. No, you made a right turn because that was decreed for you to make the right turn. Somebody said, but I made a right turn and I hit a car. It was decreed for you to hit that car. It all happened according to God's decree. So in closing, here's the problem. God's people don't know who they are. God's people don't know who they are. I'm going to close on this. The Bible tells in our gospel church that our citizenship is not in the earth. Our citizenship is in the heavens in Christ. And when you understand that you are not really from this earth, you are another citizen from the body of Christ, from the entity. I do not belong in this earth. My citizenship is tied in my position in Christ. And when you look at the, you can go through life looking at things from the eternal sphere to know that all of these crazy things down here. Now, I know it rains on the just and the unjust, but my mindset is based upon who I am in Christ and what God did for me. I'm going to close on a little story, then we'll be out of here. I thought about this. I was reading this the other day. Thank God, I'll be ahead of time today. Amen. I'll be ahead of time. I'm out of here in 5 minutes. There was a story. I look at these stories now. What happened? They show the modern version of Superman, and what they do, you know, they miss some points because they don't show the historic. Everyone in here that's over 50, you know what really happened. This young boy family, they were on this planet Krypton, and the planet was going to get ready to explode. And what did they do? To save their boy, they put him in a rocket and sends him to the Earth. And when he lands in Kansas, he lands in this rocket, and all of a sudden, the family see him, they say, the baby. From outward appearance, he looked like any other baby. But then they notice, as he grew up, they said, wait a minute, they saw the strength. And they realized that, wait a minute, there's something different about him. So what happened? Make a long story short, he grew up in a city called Metropolis. But notice this now, his actualized existence was in Krypton. He was manifested in the earth. But that was not his abode. His abode was another planet. And what happened? As he grew up, things happened. You know, he could see through what? You know what happened? He could see X-ray vision. The bullets, nothing harmed him. When everything, he had supernatural strength. Why? Because his actualized existence was another place. In our gospel, our actualized existence, it is another place. In God's according to his actualized decree, church, wait a minute. You cannot die. Wait a minute. In your manifested existence, everything happens. You can have headaches, backaches, die, everything. But in your actualized existence in Christ, you are above everything that's down here in your actualized existence in the heavens in Christ. Jesus made the comment, they thought he was crazy. He said, those that believeth and believeth in me shall never die. They thought he was crazy. They said, he ain't 40, what are you talking about? He was talking about your actualized existence. You shall never die because we are members in the body of Christ. You will never die. And in closing, when those crazy things happen, he was a news reporter. When those crazy things happen, they said, they said, all of a sudden they hear a bird playing Superman. But here's the interesting thing.
when those crazy things were going on, Clark Kent many times was reading a newspaper and they got mad at him because he was worried. You know why? Because he knew he's above. He said, wait a minute, I'm above all these things. I'm Superman. And what happened? It got so bad, Pastor. You know what happened? What happened? Lois got mad at him. What's wrong? You know, Lois, she knew. She got fast Superman. We know what happened. He would unblows his tie and he would go in a phone booth and all of a sudden, a split second, the bird is a plane, it's Superman. So what's the key, church? The key is this. He knew who he was, even though they were mad at him. All of this crazy things. And he was what? Clark Kent was reading the newspaper. Because he knew he was not subject to all his crazy things. They got mad at him because he didn't worry. Now, one of our friends got mad at my wife, Ella Karen. Karen says, Ella Karen, you don't have sense enough to worry. He knew who he was. Now, here's the key. All the crazy things that were happening, the moment they saw the red and blue cape, the same thing was going on, but when they looked up, they were so happy. Wait a minute. The same crazy things were still going on, but they were looking up, not around, not down here, all these crazy things. They were looking up because they knew whatever it was, Superman could take care of it. When are God's people can give Christ God more credit than some fictional character in a book? No, no, no. No matter what goes on in my life, God has my back. God's got my back. I'm covered. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ. I'm covered. I'm covered. I'm covered by His blood.
So, in closing, we are covered, we are safe, we are secure, because I'm not going to let a fictional cartoon character like Superman take my focus off what God, I don't care what happens down here, I know God has my back, and I know that whatever goes on in my life is all based upon purpose, and that is why we have to connect our gospel to purpose. And that's why, as we go through life, we should always remember, have the cogitation and the focus that the only gospel that should be preached in this dispensation is the gospel of the grace of God. God bless you.
Hallelujah.